This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whitening. I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a ship.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the point
in?
Of order.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Sunday Times Politics Weekly with me, Amil Amrao. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a jam-packed edition for you this week. I'm joined in studio by the entire politics desk here at the Sunday Times, Juanita Hunter, author of Balance of Power, which released yesterday, I'm told.
Yeah, officially. Thank
you. Grab a book, guys. It's apparently a very good read. We've all got a copy, and we'll talk about it once we've all read it. I need a couple years to read that book, personally.
I think that's how corruption happens. You use platforms to endorse extracurricular activities.
No, we're endorsing that book entirely.
And then we've got Zingisa Mvumvu, Zimasa Matiwane, and Apewe de Klerk. Guys, thank you so much for coming in this week. Let's get straight into it. We're going to be talking about two things this week. The first of it is Zingisa's front page story in the Sunday Times this week. And Zingisa, you properly clobbered with the EFF here, didn't you?
Oh, yes, no. Thank you, Amir, for the congratulations. Thank you.
You say now, in the story that EFF leader Julius Malema has personally benefited from millions of rands that were channeled to a company exposed as his own slush fund. Now, I know you previously reported that Santa Clara Trading, a company registered to Malema's cousin, had received more than 4 million in suspicious payments in just 7 months. Now, the money came from companies that looted VBS Mutual Bank, companies that did business with the government in Limpopo, and from the EFF's lawyers. Zingisa, tell us a little bit more about the story.
First of all, one thing I want to clarify, I've seen on the whole debate around VBS saying people's numbers don't add up. How is it 5 million? You see, people, when they don't read, they read headlines and then
they don't read the entire story.
To debate. We never said that that 5 million of the house, all of it. We are saying part of, if you read the story, you'll get to understand that part of the money, as you said just now, that a whole lot of suspicious payments have gone into this Santa Clara company, which we can now say that it is Julius Malema's trust fund, where his friends, his political, you know, allies and all people that are around him who owe him money for whatever reason that we may not know, that's where they deposit the money. And then when it gets there, it goes out to finance things that are related to the EFF leader Julius Malema, be it his personal life or his businesses. I mean, for instance, like the restaurant in Soweto, which is managed by his cousin again, Samtsudu Malema, and then, you know, and all those kind of things. Other suspicious payments are not only limited to VBS. So when we say VBS, we mean companies like Grand Azania that benefited from VBS. For instance, Grand Azania deposited 500,000 rands into the Santa Clara account, you know, and other companies as well. So that's what we mean, but we are not saying the entire 5 million for the house that he bought in Sentin comes from VBS. So that was the first point of clarification. But generally, this was a story about how Julius Malema, in actual fact, uses the EFF for his own personal beneficiation, because you can also not explain why EFF lawyers would deposit into his personal slash fund instead of being the other way around. In fact, why would EFF lawyers be paying the EFF leader if it's not supposed to be the other way around? There's a whole lot of things you can devise from that, but I won't go into detail. But in essence, this is not the first time Julius Malema operates like this. Everyone will know the story of the Ratanang Trust Fund and how it had shares on Point Engineering, and how people who were doing government tenders with the Limpopo government contributed towards that trust fund, and how it financed Julius Malema. So this is Julius Malema of the NCOT League.
So the question I have for you, Zingisa, is that has it not become more sophisticated? Because, you know, you would have probably learned a lesson from Ratanang Trust. So, you know, what do you think it is?
Yeah, to a certain degree, too, it is a bit sophisticated, but not as sophisticated as I mean, maybe one would do it. Because, as I say now, for instance, the company Santa Clara is not registered in his personal name, but he makes some silly mistakes along the way. So although the company is registered in the name of his cousin, who doesn't have his surname, some Jimmy Matlebiane character, But the mistakes he does, he would take his number and make it the in contact for the account. So he is aware at all material terms that about the monies that come in and out of that business. You see, so that's how he gives it away. Much as he has always claimed that that is not his company, but you would ask a simple question, why is your mobile phone number the one that gets bank notifications about transactions happening in that account? So those silly small mistakes are the one. And then again, another, I think, one clumsy one, as far as I'm concerned, is the trust fund that financed this house in Sentin. No, in fact, that is registered in the name of this house in Sentin, which is named after his second son. Radanang was his firstborn son. So you see, certain things don't change in this whole thing. I think the guy really has some deep love for his sons, but hey, he puts them into trouble, man.
But I've been looking at social media and looking at a lot of posts from EFF members and loyalists, and it doesn't ever seem like there's any wavering in the support for Julius, no matter what comes out. Because this is not just a matter of VBS, is it? This is a larger scam of money laundering,
yes,
essentially.
Yes.
So this is not just talking about VBS money, because I've seen people with a whole bunch of whataboutism saying, oh, but the EFF only stole this small percentage from VBS. What about the other 99% that the ANC stole? But it's not about that, is it? This is a larger scheme.
Yes. Yes, yes. And that's the thing. I mean, in the, as actually what even shocks me, even that comparison of theirs of 1% and 99%. Yeah. So these people are justifying crime as long as we took the smaller portion, exactly, and the ANC took the larger portion. You know, it's very shocking how EFF, you know, supporters or members, at least in the social media space, behave. I mean, I'm not shocked at all that other people have branded them a cult, because it seems like they are devoid of any independent thinking, despite the facts being presented to them. As you say, they reduce the story to VBS, whereas the story is larger than VBS. Mm. It's about, as you say, essentially, it may well be money laundering. Mm.
So let's talk about this on a bigger scale of things then, because we've seen previously in other parties and with other political leaders where if there's some serious allegations made against them, the party takes some sort of action against that person. Maybe not exactly the case in the case of Jacob Zuma, but eventually something happened. Is Julius Malema untouchable within the EFF, guys?
I think Zimasa can handle that one.
Chief, why are you putting me on the spot?
Yeah.
But I think Julius Malema is the EFF, so who is going to hold Julius accountable in the EFF?
Also, the thing is that these are networks or systems that have been in place for years that not only bankrolled him but also is the reason for the political clout that he has today. It's these kind of systems of how money and staying in houses owned by dodgy people and having this kind of dodgy grey cloud on top of his head. So it's how it sustained him as Youth League leader. It is now inevitably how it's sustaining him as EFF leader. And so if you take this away from Julius Malema, does he still have the same political prowess? Does he still have the same muscle? If you take away all of these dodgy kind of dealings around him, the one thing that he does fairly well is that he can preempt you. And so with enough mud throwing before the story hits, there's almost the sense of confusion among people who care. I mean, there's a fair amount of people who would believe that Julius is not the cleanest politician in the world, but then there are those who are desperately looking for an alternative and probably agree with his ideas that kind of then, you know, will create these sort of, or will buy in to these arguments that, oh, how much of money was VBS? I mean, these guys, every week they manufacture a new, you know, story about it. And so I think that it's important whether or not the EFF takes action, and Zimasa, you're right, Julius is the EFF. I think it's important to continue writing these stories, because it's not even about, it's not about this particular 5 million rand.
Yeah.
But it's a trend of money brings political power, brings influence, brings money, brings political power, brings influence. And it's bigger than VBS, and it's bigger than this 5 million. And that's, and it also can be seen by many people as you know, Julius being attacked because, you know, he attacks the Sunday Times and all of that kind of thing. But many, many people would know that this is the same tricks, and he hasn't changed his tricks from the youth league days. His weight has reduced, but his his modus operandi remains the same. That was a bad joke. I take it back.
I agree with both you and Zimasa. Nothing is going to happen to the guy in so far as the EFF is concerned. It's his party, and nothing will happen. I think it would be naive of us to expect something to come from the side of the EFF. If anything is going to happen to the guy, it should then come from the side of law enforcement, or in terms of his declarations with parliament, in so much as did he inform parliament that this is how he was benefiting from these businesses, and how does he explain being a kept man by these people? I mean, you know, such is important. I'm not sure how much SARS can deal with him on these matters, because if these things are not under his name, I mean SARS can't go after you for living in a house. I mean, if I live in your house, I don't really have to declare. But I mean, maybe in some way or the other, a sort of, you know, people have always been talking about lifestyle audits of politicians. I think if you go, you take that route, you will be able to detect most of these things, because we have a number of politicians who, when you look at their lifestyles and how much they actually earn from parliament, it the two don't end up. And with him, I think that's where we find ourselves with Julius again. I mean, previously when he was ANC Youth League president, he could comfortably argue that, look, I'm just a leader of the ANC Youth League, I don't have to account to anyone because I'm voted for by the ANC Youth League, and therefore I run the ANC Youth League. It's got nothing to do with the state. But now he's an MP, he's voted for by people, so I mean, more transparency is needed. And it's quite strange that he's not making so much noise now, especially both the stories that you've written, actually, Mbumbu. He's not gone out of his way as himself to rubbish us, because unlike what he'd been doing to our colleagues, Daily Maverick, News 24, and so on, which I find it quite a bit, you know.
This is what I find interesting here, is his actual response to you, Zingisa. He says, "You seem to have illegally had access to confidential information. You tell me how it is that you gained access to this information, and if it's justifiable and legal, I will answer your questions." He's not saying that what you have is wrong. Actually, he's just saying that
he's confirming that,
yeah, the story is great.
Yeah, you know, it's like that. I mean, he confirms, and maybe it links up to a few as you know, interesting point that he doesn't make much noise. In fact, in the previous story, he never said a thing. This time they decided to unleash their social media defense force in advance before we published and all that. But of course, it would only work for the EFF constituents. But you see, there's also a political irony in all of this. I mean, in that here is a man who claims to be the champion of the poor, but here is a man who lives lavishly at the expense of the poor. Because, you know, the manner in which they've branded the EFF over time, at times I would get shocked how, you know, these companies would compare themselves to the likes of Thomas Sankara, which is devoid of any historical facts, by the way. Because if we go to Thomas Sankara's political history, he was the man of the poor and he lived like them. You know, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm saying, you know, the EFF, in particular its leader Julius Malema, is full of contradictions. He says this and does the exact opposite. And this is one of the typical ways in which I think people ought to understand him as a political leader. He's a political leader full of contradictions, in particular his life, his love for a lavish living. Because, for instance, this is not the only house that is under, you know, the microscope. There's also another house that we wrote about in our first edition in Pulugwan, a 3.3 million house. Now this is a 5.5 million house. And I can bet you those are not the only properties that he has. So you can already see that the guy Now we can at least confirm that he's got two properties that are worth close to 10 million rand.
On an MP salary.
On an MP salary.
See, this is my thing. I don't have a problem with the guy's sort of the way he dresses or his lifestyle, as long as it's being financed by through proper means. But the moment there's some issue of criminality which gets involved, that's where my problem starts to come in.
And that's the, what is at issue here. I mean, as and as Apio is saying, certain you know institutions of the state ought to move in this regard and you know do proper investigations, because really, as I say, on the properties alone, we haven't even gone to the cars that this guy drives. You know, on the properties alone, how can you within 2 years have properties that are worth close to 10 million rand when you earn about a million per year?
Well, don't hold your breath. The NPA is still busy with cases from 20 years ago,
yeah,
and this is a new revelation. So we'll probably only see this ever going to court in another 15, 20 years. But anyway, let's move on again. When we come back, we're going to talk about sexual allegations at the city of Swane.
Sex and the City.
Sex and the City. I mean. Anyway, we'll join us when we're back.
Racial identity politics, a phrase that has the potential to start an argument in just about any situation. That's why we're starting it first. Let's Start an Argument is a unique and insightful podcast series about the meaning of race to us today. Presented by researchers Cecilia Koch and Doctor of Philosophy Jason Werbeloff, the series aims to spark rational argument and meaningful discussion around this controversial topic. Find Let's Start an Argument now on the Cliff Central app, cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Now, the City of Tshwane Executive Mayor, Stevens Mokgalapa, says he has been blackmailed with an audio recording that went viral over the weekend containing a supposed intimate engagement with a member of his mayoral committee, Stella Senkubuhle. Now, the ANC came out with a statement afterwards. It was Mr. Kosi Maepe.
Yeah, chairman.
It was quite hilarious. Let's take a listen to it.
And we are not shying away from that. And that we're going to use the code of conduct on conduct of councillors based on the municipal system and structures in this city. We cannot have the DA having sex everywhere in the public facilities. We can't have that.
Now, I don't know whether you guys have heard the entire what they're describing as a supposed intimate engagement of audio recording.
I listened to that thing.
I choose not to. I don't want to hear it.
I know up here I listened to it 5 times.
Yeah, I
listened to the thing. It's a very interesting recording, Shame.
Give us a description of what's in the recording.
The description is that recording, how it was hyped up, first of all, before we actually got our hands on it, it was said to be a sex tape of the mayor and the MC.
So you were disappointed?
I got the thing, I'm like, ah, man, but this thing is not a sex tape.
What did you want?
No, I mean, people.
The guy wanted some action.
So what's actually in the tape?
But what's there is that they seemingly, it's after some meeting, it seems. They go on talking badly about their colleagues, about a senior manager at the city. They talk badly about the speaker, I think they called her a witch or something like that. They talk badly about the regional leader of the DA, Tao. And then the former mayor, Solim Simanga, and even Jose Maepa, the one who had just spoke here. And then for 5 minutes, there's the alleged intimate engagement between the two of them. But it's just 5 minutes, you know.
And it's not really, you know, an intimate engagement as far as I'm concerned, because I mean, I can't hear anything.
What did you want to
understand? I don't understand your point when you say it's not, can I say the word, it's not sex. Because an MMC and a mayor are clearly making out, which is probably the lightest of what they do. I have other ideas of what's been happening in that office. First of all, it's inappropriate. Let's start there.
Yeah.
It's inappropriate. whether there was actually how far the intimate engagement went or how surface level it was.
Maybe it was a brief encounter. Bavi once introduced us to a brief encounter while standing. Maybe that, because he didn't say it was a brief encounter, 8 minutes, Vavi, ne? It could have been 5 minutes with Vavi as well.
Yeah. But you see, Mchana, well, as you say, I was just being naughty with the actual thing. Yeah, I'm quite disappointed in the mayor, but anyway, we're not there. The issue here is, as far as I'm concerned, this whole issue of sex scandals and politicians are nothing that you can use to take anyone down. We have a string of history of politicians who've been...
The interim DA leader had the same...
Who've been caught, you know, with their pants down, literally. Like the brief encounter while standing at Cossette House. Well, that one, it cost him. But because there was a political ploy to get rid of him already, they just used that to deal with his public reputation. We had a minister, Madusi Kikaba, you know, imagine it in your mouth and all those things. So, but
and Jeff Khadebe, something is requested.
You know, a whole thing. Even the president, there was once allegations of cupcakes and stuff like that. You know, so but they are standing. So as far as I'm concerned, sex scandals are just the part of the political gimmicks. But really, I don't believe anyone should be gotten rid of for having just tried to please their
desires. But wait. You said this one of Tswane is serious in the manner that, well, first of all, it happened in during working hours at the office.
No, but how do you know it was lunchtime?
No. But there's no lunchtime for a politician in chief. So long as you are at the office, you are on duty. If you do those shenanigans here and they find out, they will fire you. Try it.
No, but we're not talking about me. I'm trying to go back to the topic.
Yeah,
this one is trying too strong. I'm me. So I don't agree with you.
I think there's some sort of history of these shenanigans in the workplace.
So what I'm saying is, it's quite serious because it happened at a workplace during working hours. It's a colleague, so
a subordinate, baby.
Yeah. So certain questions come. Did he appoint her because there was this intimate relationship to start with? Because he has the authority to appoint whoever he wants. Also, what they were talking about regarding their colleagues, especially the one who are politicians, the speaker. And the regional chairperson, so that's quite serious. The DA is conducting an investigation on the matter. Its Federal Legal Commission is handling the matter, and the Sowetan reported that in a meeting yesterday, party bigwigs were there, including himself and the leader of Gauteng, and the 99% of the meeting, or rather the biggest chunk of the time, they spent discussing the matter, which is means they take it quite serious. And it could very well be that the guy would lose his job, because he got to that caucus. It was divided at the time, and people who support the regional leader were of the view that he should have been the mayor. And then you go on a tape and then you talk like that about him.
Yeah, but
he's going to survive this thing.
As I'm saying, those are politics. They would have gotten rid of him because of internal DA politics and other politics in that council. This so-called sex tape is just an excuse, you know. But I agree with you that on those levels as to whether the lady was appointed on the basis of their romantic relationship, because I mean the lady was also given best performer award. We don't know the performance by the same man. So you know, on that score it could be wrong, but generally serious. Also, I mean, guys, what should be the the rules of engagement as far as romantic relationships are concerned, especially between juniors and their seniors in the workplace, be it
don't
in the politics
even,
or
don't
not.
Even.
I mean, because I remember recently.
I feel like
don't
this is even. A question that you want answered specifically.
Yeah, no, I want to answer.
I'm saying you can't bar people from having romantic relationships. You can't. It should be wrong, especially when he's the principal there, is the mayor, he's got the power to appoint and fire. But outside of that, it could have been that when he was still just an ordinary member, the alleged relationship was there. You see what I'm saying? So it must he disassociate from,
but
because he's been appointed. So you can have those, but the problem is when you start then people are waiting for water there in Hammerskraal, where they're struggling with water.
Yeah.
And now you are busy doing these things at the office.
But also a few, because the person may be treated differently from other people, the lady who's the MNC, from other people who are those things. Maybe, for instance, the award that we're talking about. Perhaps our government must apply the rules that are there at McDonald's. At McDonald's, if you are a superior, you cannot date anyone in the company who's a junior.
But you know what? But
different.
But
these people
are. Do what they want.
No, of course. No, of course. But I'm saying, comrades,
politicians, the person is not hired for the job. Is voted for.
Yeah.
So if they are in a romantic relationship with whoever they're in a romantic relationship with, I mean, for instance, we had people who were couples who were serving in cabinet, who were serving government, the then chief whip, and then the who's married to the minister of basic education. So what must happen then now if the minister of basic education gets promoted to become a president? Must he then divorce her husband? It can't happen like that.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So you can't regulate those things.
You can't regulate, but in fact you can, Shana. How is McDonald's doing?
No, but it's a private company.
No, but the private company is run like government, Chief. What are you talking about? There's a reason there's that rule at McDonald's. It's not just a mad rule.
Do they vote for the CEO at McDonald's?
No, the CEO is hired.
Let's cut it there. That's unfortunately all we have time for this week. I guess either way, I hope this matter sort of comes to some sort of finality. But we'll have more for you next week. Join us again then. Take care. Have a good one.